November, President Cyril Ramaphosa attended the 45th Ordinary Summit of Southern African Development Community, that being SADC, Heads of State and Government. The summit, which took place on the 17th of August at the Vato Conference Center in Madagascar, under the theme of advancing industrialization, agricultural transformation and energy transition for a resilient SADC. In the summit, South Africa was elected as the incoming chair of SADC in 2026 and will host the 46th summit in August of next year. To discuss this further, we're going to speak to Dr. Paul Kariuki, who is the Executive Director of the Democracy Development Program at the University of KwaZulu-Natal and the convener at the African Policy Circle. Sir, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you and good afternoon to your listeners.
Wonderful having you on the airwaves of Voice of the Cape, sir, as we usually do on a Thursday. To kick things off, your thoughts on the summit as a whole, its importance?
Well, I think it's also a very opportune time at which this 45th summit has been convened, given the current political trajectory that the entire world is experiencing, and more so especially in Africa because of our multivariate challenges, developmental challenges that we pursuing at the moment, and at the same time the political shifts that we are seeing in our continent. And so I think it came into the right time when the leaders from the region had to convene and rethink how best to position the region in a way that it really does promote the interest of the citizenry in the region, at the same time also create opportunities for collective responsibility to advance the developmental agenda that is really, really seriously needed to address the challenges that we're experiencing. So it was an important space for reflection, reimagining, brainstorming ideas, and harnessing collective support to address these challenges and create pathways for development.
Yes. Let's talk more about that aspect of collective support, because, Doctor, one staple of African Mirror, I know, is that you advocate for a unified front from the African continent and from regions in Africa, especially when working on the international stage, especially given, of course, the present situation when it comes to U.S. tariffs. Do you see that the summit has somewhat brought that into fruition in some sense, in terms of some sort of unified front in SADC? Because when I was reading more on this, it seemed as if though the region wants to expand its trade by allowing more free flowing of individuals and of commodities.
Yes, I think there was a greater sense of that level of support from each other. And of course, there was a lot of agreement on the approach to the challenges that are confronting the region. And of course, the incoming president also had serious thoughts about what will his presidency of the SADC now look like for this year, and touched on the main things around agricultural transformation, looked at regional integration as far as education and trade is concerned. And then the most important part, of course, is promoting inclusive energy transition, which, of course, these things did resonate with most of the leaders in the room. However, as we know, summits are just summits unless action follows the discussions and the resolutions. And so now at this point in time is to say we're waiting to see how the current chair, the president of Madagascar, is going to translate that broad vision and the discussions and the resolutions that were taken into action, so that when South Africa picks up next year as a chair, there is already an existing body of work that is already on ground, and there is already support, financial, human resource, and other forms of technical support needed to translate these visions into reality from member countries and, of course, as a region. So there was that sense that we're in this together. But it's also important to punctuate that to say talk is cheap unless there is action to resolutions.
Let's talk about one aspect of the summit, Doctor. One aspect of it, of course, being this idea of upping the manufacturing. Of course, one of the headings of the summit is talking about advancing industrialization. Now, on that sense as well, when it comes to the matter of manufacturing, one of the biggest threats is actually the global market and competing against nations such as China. I'm trying to wonder, how could it be that the region could strengthen itself, bolster local industries to actually compete on that international market? Because at some sense, local markets have been infiltrated by these cheaper commodities that are attracting locals rather than opting for local produce.
This is a very important question that you're posing, and I think is a very relevant one from many fronts. The first front, of course, is harmonization of policies. There is no way that the SADC region can be able to translate the vision of the current chair and even the collective vision as far as industrialization and manufacturing is concerned if there is no harmonization of policies within the region in itself. Some of the policies need to be attended to with speed. It's about migration and people movement. We've seen a lot of difficulties for countries to harmonize migration processes so that as Africans in general, we do not have to be paying, for example, hefty visa fees when we are moving around the continent as compared to our counterparts in Europe through the European Union. And so harmonization of policies in that area is very important to facilitate movement of goods and people to realize this ideal, which is very important. The second aspect for this to fast-track industrialization is, of course, is to increase investments into the region. And this is seriously predicated or dependent on political stability. SADC as a region suffers one of the most serious conflicts, and we know that. But that no investor is willing to put money where they are not guaranteed on return on the investment. Mm. And when there is a situation of conflict, investments are very rare to come by. So I think as much as this idea looks great on paper, there has to be a serious movement towards stabilizing the continent and the region for this matter. And already work is happening. It's not that these things are happening in vacuum.
Yeah.
Already there is a lot of work going on in trying to bring peace, for example, in the DRC and in Rwanda and all other countries around the continent, but also in this region specifically is in DRC, Mozambique and Angola, the countries that are already, you know, experiencing some level of distress in some parts of their countries.
Mm.
But it's important because if that doesn't happen, no investor will be interested in coming to set up industries or even grow those that are already existing because of the precariousness of the investment. And the third aspect of it, of course, is boosting regional economic sovereignty, talking in one voice when they are going to talk to investors. Again, I need to repeat this because I've said it in the various previous interviews, to say that the difficulties of our continent, in general terms, is that the continent is still approaching investors as a single country. Each country trying to do its own bit and trying to explore its own possibility rather than speaking in one voice. The same applies to regional blocs like SADC. There is still this individualistic nature of bilateral conversations with investors and not speaking as a region. And, you know, for example, SADC taking the initiative to engage with different international actors that are interested in investing in the region on behalf of the regional countries because they've already agreed on the trajectory that they want to take on as for development purposes. So until that unity is really harnessed, we'll continue to see political tensions between countries. We're going to see increasing in income inequalities between countries. And of course, what that means is that the external world, the investor world, sees a chaotic region rather than a cohesive region that needs to speak in one voice. I think there is already some impetus towards this direction. My frustration is that it's not happening fast enough to really create harmonization among African SADC African region itself and among citizens of the region. We still have tensions between countries and between our people, and all these send wrong signals to the investor world to say the region is still not ready to appreciate, you know, developmental aid that can really sustain it. And of course, the undertone to this is that we're still seeing these, you know, individual bilateral conversations that are not surely aligned with the regional vision. And so that also becomes a bit of a challenge because you might find two countries from the region or three going to the same investor community, but with different agendas.
Mm.
That's a wrong message. It causes confusion.
Doctor, let's talk about the two aspects you mentioned there, that of course being regional sovereignty and the matter of political stabilization. When I take a look at the member states of SADC and I look at the conflicts that they've had, I see Mozambique, but more importantly, I see regions like the DRC. And the DRC, of course, recently had an agreement that was, I think, placed through the United States. And I start to wonder, when it comes to the matter of political stabilization and regional sovereignty, how do we actually achieve that in the region, given, of course, that SADC states have already trouble in terms of keeping each other in check, and in some situations require international intervention to actually sort out local problems. I'm trying to understand, when do we get to that place of the region being politically stable and being able to solve its own issues internally?
I think it's still a work in progress. It's important to admit that there already are some level of effort towards that, because the SADC region itself, as a regional bloc, it has a whole department dedicated to political matters and stabilization and security matters already. And I think there's already some work being done by that organ as we speak. However, again, as I indicated in a short while, is that we're not seeing speed that we want to see among countries led by SADC region itself in the forefront. I think we see more of individual countries' possibilities of trying to settle themselves down, and very minimally seeing the regional leadership involved. It's the same thing that's happening at the African Union. One of the criticisms that have been leveled against the African Union is that the Union is hardly seen, to be taking lead in some of these difficult situations as a secretariat. And that is translating at the regional blocks at level, where there is a lot of chaos going on in some member countries, but the regional leadership is not seen visibly to be able to be, attempting to bring normalcy. So I think for this to really happen in a way that it translates to positive messaging out there, there needs to be seen an increased impetus of the regional leadership of these blocks to try to translate their action and their intention to bring normalcy whenever there is this conflict, and not to wait for them until they escalate to the point where international actors seems to be more, taking more lead than the continent on itself. You mentioned the case of DRC. We are seeing a lot of international actors trying to bring peace and trying to create mediation possibilities. Does that mean our mediatory capabilities is weak or is even non-existent? It leaves a lot of questions in the air that requires answers. Does it mean that the regional leadership or the continental leadership is not interested in mediating its own problems? Hence, now it becomes easier for international actors to find ways of getting back into the continent, but of course, not without a price. Remember, all these international actors, when they come into the continent, even to address these issues of political instability and security threats, they are always the other part of the equation. What is in it for us as mediators? Mm. So we're seeing one of the tensions that we constantly see is that we are seeing, a serious speed towards accessing, our mineral wealth, for example.
Yeah.
Which means that the local communities don't get to enjoy the benefits of such because it has already been transacted. You want peace? We are going to mediate it for it, but we want that mine or those mines and things like that. So at the end of the day, guess who is losing? The continent, the region, the individual countries. Because this kind of, negotiations about beneficiations, of course, are not exposed to the local citizenry. Their interests are not factored in. So because the issue is so humongous, is that you guys have already been fighting, killing each other and all that. We have come to solve your problems all the way from half the world. Now you can't talk about beneficiation now because you didn't even have anything to benefit from because of your chaos. So that kind, and I'm putting it mildly, bluntly like that, because it's what is translating on the ground. Rarely do you hear stories of mutual beneficiation of the communities where natural resources are located on our continent in the benefit of the people.
Indeed.
It's usually the other way around. There's a lot of competing political interests, and therefore, to some extent, there has been abdication of our own sovereignty when it comes to stabilizing the regions where there is already existing conflict because of these external mediation efforts. And at the end of the day, the question is, there's a few questions around this. Are our mediatory capacities getting weaker? Do we really care about the communities where this mineral wealth is actually located? Do we really care about the progress of the region or the continent as far as the natural resources are concerned? And there's a lot of questions going around that. And I think, I hope that the current leader of, or the chair of the SADC summit this year, the president of Madagascar, will take a, you know, a keen interest in such issues so that we can mobilize support, from the regional member states to taking, you know, serious active, engagement with external actors as far as, you know, stabilizing the region is concerned.
Mm. Doctor, unfortunately, that's all the time we have. I ever want to thank you for coming on to our airwaves and having this conversation with us. It's been wonderful.
Thank you so much for having me on the show.